Once again, we'd like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and your visions realized. Those dreams and those visions are not just supposed to be self-centered or self-maintained, but those dreams and visions should line up with the Word of God. And so I pray that the message this morning is something that will truly bless your heart and bless your families as well. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, scripture is going to come from out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 through 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. And it says as follows. It says, "But we request of you," and this is Paul talking here, "brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you." And I'm sure that you all understand that statement, because that's the reason why we show appreciation to our first lady, show appreciation to our staff, as well as the members of this church, and even those that are in the community, because labor is something that is hard, and it is tedious, but it is necessary, because there's so many people that need God and need the people of God and need to be served. And once again, if church is boring to you, that means you're not active. You have to be active, serving others beyond yourself. So once again, "but we request of you," or "we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly," let's talk about church leadership and the laborers, "because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, put them in check when folk don't act right, but they call themselves Christian. Encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with everyone." This is how we're supposed to treat each other. "See that no one repays another for evil with evil, but always, always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people." Amen. The title of this morning's message is "Stay Faithful, My Friends." Stay faithful, my friends. Amen. Amen. Stay faithful, my friends. Thank you so much. The passage of scripture that I just read to you this morning comes at a time when there's a lot of tumult and a lot of stress that's going on in the land, just like even today, where we have people who are worried about Supreme Court picks. We have people who are worried about if LeBron can get more folk to come with him to the Lakers. Amen, somebody. We try to find out if anybody's even playing for the Orlando Magic. I don't even know who's on the team except for one person. You know, and our attention is on extension and what happened to him, or other individuals that have been gutted in the streets, wars and rumors of war, people in Thailand being buried up under caves and rocks, and the entire soccer team. And people are trying to excavate them out of that particular atmosphere. The stuff that's going on at the house. There's a baby daddy drama. There's baby mama arguments that are going on. There's fussing and fighting between husbands and wives and people. And let's just say sometimes folk get a little bit tired. And even as I was watching last night, one of the saints, Leandria Johnson, has been putting out videos and things like that about her frustration with the church, and it stems from a couple of places. Number one, and I have to say this in all love, just because you are a gospel artist or just because you're a gospel star does not mean that you are saved. It doesn't mean that you're saved. Somebody should have told her, and this is including her family, which is a part of this community here in Altamont Springs, that just because you're talented doesn't mean that you have to be held accountable or not held accountable for your actions. Also, you shouldn't fool people into thinking they are saved just because they've been a part of the church all of their life as well. All right? Can you check the door, please, woman? All right. So we need to make sure and be aware of that and aware of those particular things. And it's a lot of things that actually happen, but I hope and pray that everybody understands that, you know, just because things happen and because things go on doesn't mean that you shouldn't stay faithful regardless. And so, Mrs. Johnson, if you do happen to get this message, or if one of your family members happens to know one of these folk that are inside this church today, which I'm probably sure that that is the case, please understand that people in church are not perfect. You have to be very careful of getting backed by other carnal Christians that cuss, fuss, and fight and dare anyone to check them. Just because people are not perfect in church and because people got, have issues doesn't mean that God had an issue. We need to separate the people of God from the things of God. The people of God, you're not going to find perfection. Probably everybody in here has done something, whether smoking, drinking, having sex outside of marriage, cussing somebody out, cussing 3-4 times, all those other things. Everybody in here has done one of the above and maybe still be doing it. Okay. Some of us still put it online and don't give a flip either. But that's not what Jesus did. And so our example is him. Jesus Christ is our perfect example. And if you're leading others, you have to lead with that perfect example. And if you can't lead under those particular situations, under those certain circumstances, then you need to sit down.
Amen.
But sometimes those checks make you feel some kind of way. You see what I'm saying? But now that money's starting to get messed with because people are not allowing for that to come into their churches. And so you just have to repent, or you need to change fields. Just say, I'm not saved and I'm going to become a blues singer. I have more respect for you that you say, I'm not a Christian, than the fake like you're one. You see what I'm saying? Because just like there's a bunch of hypocrites in the church, that's being hypocritical too. And keeping it real doesn't mean keeping it carnal. I still love her songs though. I still love her songs, but somebody needs to get a hold of her. And she needs to get a hold of herself, just like many of us who have the same type of mindset. Because a lot of church folk were pushing their heads, saying, that's all right, because even the pastors and the bishops be cussing, fussing, and fighting too. Not all of us. Not all of us are. And even a pastor or a bishop or a deacon or an archbishop, where they got a small waist or a fat round neck, it does not mean that God endorses that behavior. So you should give honor to him. I just had to get it off my chest. You should give honor to God and not just really focus so much on the people, because people will mess you up. Amen. Let every man be a liar. But God is still the truth. So that passage was actually a letter, just like I gave that nice little monologue that may have been one of rebuke and may make some folk feel some kind of way. Because, just because you know somebody, that doesn't mean it's right. But I want people to grow in the truth. I was talking to somebody this morning and said, you know what? We may not have the largest church, but we definitely have a healthy church. And healthy churches really make carnal Christians feel very uncomfortable, because we want you to be authentic. Be authentically who you are, with the caveat or with the disclaimer that we want to be more like Christ. And we're going to strive towards that point with our imperfect self. So there are no church imperfect. There are no perfect churches. There are no perfect pastors, there's no perfect preachers, but we do serve a perfect God. And that's enough to keep on coming to God. So as Paul is writing this letter, it's actually, just to give you a little background, the first epistle that he wrote to, one of the first letters that he wrote to any of the churches during his time as an apostle. Some of you may have been familiar with some of the other churches that he spoke to, like the church in Rome, the book of Romans. Corinth, the church in Corinthians, Philippi, Philippians, Ephesians, okay, where we get our marriage scriptures from, and then Galatians, where we understand Christian conduct and the fruit of the Spirit. But out of all of those, the Thessalonians were the ones that he spoke to first. You should put this in the category of the top model. Top model, that's a song by Canton Jones that he sung a long time ago, and it was talking about a woman who was the perfect image of what God wanted. And it was not really talking about a physical female, it was talking about the bride of Christ. So likewise, Thessalonica, which is the place where the church is located, was also the top model or model of a church that we should emulate ourselves after even today. So as Paul was writing this, we need to understand in his context that he was writing this with a spirit of love and encouragement. Also, number two, that the church, and here's another fact, is that the church in Thessalonica was pure, upright, and faithful. You know, those churches do exist. Not everybody is having drama. Not everybody's sleeping with everybody else. Not every pastor's smoking liquor and drinking and all that other stuff like that every single day behind the pulpit. Or I got a liquor cabinet aside. Well, let me check. No, not yet. Not yet. but all of those things are not happening. And I'm not perfect myself. I have my own flaws. I have my own dirt. But I have learned that while I have my own flaws and I have my own dirt, I know how to go to God despite. Yeah. And that's the key. Go to God with everything. Yeah. With every issue, every problem, every situation, every circumstance. Go to God. Go to God for your pride. Go to God for your stubbornness. Go to God for your sexual proclivities. Go to God for your greed. Go to God for your anger, your malice. Whatever it is, continue to go to God. And when you go to him, go with the intention of change. Amen. Don't just go to him and continue to revert back again. I want you to be blessed. Sometimes I want people to be blessed more than they want the blessing themselves. Nevertheless, this particular church was upright and faithful. And we find hardly any criticism of that church in that entire book, 1 Thessalonians. In other words, they had it together despite the circumstances. They were under persecution. They were up under pressure. People didn't really like them. They had Judaizers that were trying to stone them and trying to run them out of town. But they were still faithful. Matter of fact, the Thessalonians converts had faith that worked. They had a love that labored and a hope which induced them to bear afflictions patiently and wait in that patience for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that church back then is a model for success in the kingdom today. And it's still a great example for many churches and our time that are moving forward with grace and favor. So once again, the church in Thessalonica is telling us today that we should have a faith that works when things go out of control, to have a love that is laboring. In other words, you have to show things through actions and not just words. I don't mind you telling me, hey, brother, I love you, or hey, preacher, I love you, or how you doing, or hey, Pastor Martin. I want you to demonstrate it. Demonstrated, not necessarily because you think that I'm all that in a bag of Funyuns. No, I want you to do it because you love God. That's the underlying, the undergirding model of this church, is to love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Stay loyal and be disciplined. Be disciplined. It might be 9, 10, and 11. Read. So the faith that works is a part of their characteristic. They also labor with love. I remember St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel, but use words if necessary. In other words, you have to have a love of God towards each other and community. And finally, they had a future hope that allowed them to endure afflictions. So knowing that these are certain components that were part of that church, a part of the model that we should strive for even in today's time, should be integral to our faith as believers, especially when the triple threat comes to afflict us and to burden us down in this thing that we call life. When trouble comes knocking at your door, when you begin to get tired, or when you begin to go through transition, oftentimes that's when the enemy tries to rear its ugly head and tries to pull it, tries to insert himself on the inside of you, or try to expose your weaknesses. So this triple threat is kind of broken up into three areas. I kind of gave you a little bit of that already, but I'm going to emphasize it again. The first time that the enemy tries to threaten you is through just being tired. If there was anything that I heard Ms. Johnson talk about on those particular videos, is that she's just tired. She's wrong, but some of the stuff that she was speaking about was still the truth too. You know what really hurts people that need to have a true experience with God and a true encounter with God's people, is that you have to be authentic. If you are off the chain, just say so. If you're off the chain, you don't need to be leading anything. Okay. Just sit in the middle, or sit in the back, or sit wherever you are. Be quiet and learn. And allow for God to sanctify your spirit. Sit down for a couple of years. If you're still doing your thing, then you have to have enough sense to say, God is not through with me yet. I'm not trying to be up in the front because I don't want to lead people astray. Because I'm weak in the faith right now. I don't want somebody else that's looking up to me to get weak in their faith, because that's part of human nature. If you're in a ditch and I'm in a ditch, then we're both in darkness. We're both in darkness. And what does a disservice, and the reason why there was a little bit of cussing and the anger came out, is because the people who are supposed to be in the light are actually in the darkness. And she said, it does something to your mind when somebody says, don't do that, and you doing it. You get that? Amen. Don't go outside of your marriage, but then behind closed doors, I find out that you are. For example, if my sons see another woman come into my house and it's not Lady Martin, they're going to look at me like, okay, hold on a minute. And they will be scarred for the rest of their life. Amen. Or whatever type of action. A person inside of the church. Somebody who's supposed to be married that always encouraged them to stay together. Then all of a sudden you see somebody strange and they're bending over in front of your dad or standing up in front of your mom. And they're supposed to be clergy or leaders. That will do something to you. Y'all continue to pray for me, because I never want to break anybody's heart through hypocrisy. If I got the urge, I'm going to sit myself down until the urge passes. You get what I'm saying? But we have a group of people that don't do that. They keep their positions anyway. And then that messes up the people of God who are looking for a good example to follow, but they can't find it. So sometimes life makes you tired. But the good news is that God will send a time of refreshing and oil for your lamp, so you won't burn out. It's like the story of the 10 virgins. Some 5 of them had no oil, and 5 of them had enough oil so they could meet the bridegroom. The ones that had no oil were just sitting there and were just, you know, in the phase where they weren't just paying attention, weren't understanding things. And then all of a sudden, when the bridegroom came and they were looking for the individuals that did not have the oil, they were basically saying, hey, look, hey, guess what? All right, you can turn it off. All right, thank you. So what happened was that when those 10 virgins all came together, 5 of them had oil and 5 of them didn't. The ones that didn't, when the bridegroom came, the bridegroom couldn't find them because there was no light for them to light up their oil lamps with. That's what happens when you are burned out. Burned out. Amen. Have anybody in here ever experienced burnout? Were you just tired? Tired of working? Tired? Sometimes you just get tired of sin too. Man, this sinful lifestyle is just wearing me out. I can't go to the club no more. I can't smoke no more. I can't let him touch me no more. I can't get with the girls no more. It's just too much drama. I need to take a time out. It happens. But Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, repent. Here's the antidote here. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So that lets us know that a lot of times burnout is attached to sin. What type of sin? I ain't doing nothing. Well, sometimes not doing anything is still sinful, because the idle mind is the devil's workshop. And sometimes not doing anything is a symbol of pride. I will not help you. I won't help your ministry, even though I can. I won't do the things of God, even though I can. I won't serve God, even though I can. I can do it. I got it. I ain't broke. You can tell by my Facebook pictures. I ain't broke. But God says, repent, change your ways. Then a time of refreshing will come. Well, I just don't understand. I try to help everybody. I try to be there for everybody and everything, and I just don't understand why people just treat you any old kind of way. Sometimes you have to understand the ministry of no. No, no, I'm not going to do it for you. No, I can't help you. I'm going to tell you no, because no is what you need right now. Amen. God does not say yes to everything. Amen. He does not. Sometimes he tells us no. And here's the reason why he tells us no. Because the reason why he tells us no is because sometimes God wants to check our motives. Yes. So you mean to tell me that you only come to church when God says yes to your blessings and yes to everything that you asked him for, but then when he says no, or he goes and he pauses until you get some of that part of your life that's out of order, he says, I'm not going to do anything until you get your life in order, then you're going to feel some kind of way and then leave everything? Here's another example. You know that I got it. And you know that I've been here for you for a long period of time. But if I tell you no as a pastor, and all of a sudden you're going to go to another church. But forget about what happened the last 8 years. Where's the loyalty at? And that's just to a human. But what about to God? Some blessings you don't need to have. And we need to understand that that concept. But then there's some of you that are experiencing trouble. Experiencing trouble. But it's like I always like to say, I'm so glad the trouble don't last always. Trouble doesn't last always, but sometimes it comes. Sometimes it's our fault. And sometimes it's just random. It's just random. Oh, man. All I had to do was just make it to the end of the month. But look what happened. If it isn't one thing, then it's another. Just like when you open up them bills. You open up the bills. Dang, if it ain't just one thing, it's another. But you were the one who had the bill. And you got your phone with all them services on it. All you have to do is just get one of those little phones. What is it? What is it called? A track phone. If you on a budget, get you a $10 track phone. And only talk and say, hello. I'll call you back later. I even showed my son what a beeper looks like. They still have them, y'all. So if you're really hurting, but you need to make sure that you get some communication and you on a budget, get you a beeper in the meantime. People can talk about you, but I guess what? Your license day on. I showed them all the different colors and everything. Look what we had back in the 90s. Mandy looked at me like, beeper, I don't even, what is that? What is that? But sometimes there's trouble. There's trouble. We do have trouble. But as a Christian, you can handle trouble one or two ways. You can let it beat you up, or you can endure it. You can learn lessons from it, or you can repeat the lessons over and over and over again. Hey, old folk, everybody that's 18 and up, guess what? Guess what? if you're not careful, you're going to get set in your ways, and you're going to repeat past mistakes over and over again until they consume you. That's the truth. So just because you graduate from high school or from college does not mean that you don't need to learn anymore. You got a lot of learning to go, if not even more as you get older. Because once you get set in your ways, it becomes like stone. Amen. And that's including destructive behavior. Amen. So while we experience trouble, we need to also understand, let me encourage you this morning, that God is a present help in a time of trouble. A fortress, a covering, or a shield. Hedge of protection, just like when Job was going through all of that mess, going through all of that pain, he saw his children die. He had sickness in his body. He lost and he went through financial ruin. He even had his relationship with God fractured. He's like, God, I can't believe that you would allow me. I've been a part of the church all of my life. And you're going to do me like this? And sometimes God has to let us know that it ain't him that's creating all that chaos. There is an adversary. There is an enemy. There's the saved and then there's the unsaved. There's God and then there's the demonic influence that happened. Job chapter 5 verse 7 and 8 says this in regards to trouble. It says, people are born for trouble as readily as sparks fly up from a fire. Good God Almighty. If I were you, I would go to God and present my case to him. That's a word right there. You missed it, Don't keep the scripture up there. If people are born for trouble as readily as sparks fly up from a fire. Now, what is it about sparks flying up from a fire? In other words, you can't be ready for it. Because it's just like having one of those sparklers that half of y'all got burnt with your hand with last week. You try to hold on to the very end. Ow, but it's so pretty. You can't tell which spark is going to go in which direction because it's unpredictable, right? You get it? Likewise, when the trouble comes, we can't prepare for everything. But we can still run to our foundation. That's what verse 8 is saying. It says, but if I were you, because we can't predict when trouble comes, we can't look into the future. You can log on online and find this weird little prophet that tells you everything that you want to hear. But at the end of the day, you need to go to God and present your case to him. Amen. God, I'm going through this. God, I'm experiencing this in my body. I'm experiencing this in my mind. I'm experiencing this in my finances. Give me wisdom. Give me endurance if it's not wisdom. Or show me my sin. That's how you handle trouble. So we're not always going to be ready for it. But that doesn't mean that God is not ready for it. Go to him if you don't know what to do. And then other times, the triple threat manifests itself through transition. In other words, when things are going so fast, or when life moves at a pace that is blinding, and it feels like it's taking you with it. This is when multiple distractions come up. This is when multiple discouragements come up. It seems like everything synergizes all at one moment, and it feels like it's being dumped on your head. But this is a moment in time of transition, because oftentimes God will take you from a place of lack into a place of wealthiness, but there's an in-between time that you got to go through. Because if you want the next level, if you want God to take you higher, then he has to prepare you for higher. Amen. And sometimes higher has a path through low first. Amen. There's always a dip, baby, dip. There's always a dip, baby, dip before you go up the mountain. And sometimes that is there just to test to see how much you have learned, how much you have heard. You cannot be an ignorant Christian in these days and times. You cannot be unlearned. You cannot be unaware. You cannot just come to church and just look at a screen, because we know, especially after you turn 18, that you only retain about 10% of what you hear. So if you can't remember everything, you got to take down notes. And if you don't bring no notes and take down notes during church, which I'm okay with that, then you watch the video and you take notes at home and then go to the scriptures and then you apply them to your life. That's how you make the word effective. That's how you make the word effective. You cannot be effective just standing there listening and saying, oh, we had a good time. Oh, man, he preached today. They played today. Look, God Almighty, what were they talking about? I don't know, but I just am in a good mood, though. And I had some chicken and waffles. But it's more than that. I want you to be equipped. Yes. Equipped. Our church is a discipleship type of church. Yes. You know the reason why we check on you? The reason why we check you? And don't be afraid of whether or not you come back again? It's because people, our millennials, our Generation X, our boomers, everybody in between, you need to be discipled. You need to know how to be a believer. How to be a good Christian. How to raise up your children in the admonition of the Lord. Yes. Parents, your children see you as the first example of what God looks like. Or what the devil looks like. So you cannot be ignorant. Parents, you do need to teach your children the Lord's Prayer. They all need to know. Because guess what? When you are no longer on the planet, they got to go to somebody. They have to go to someone. This is transition. Transition from the old man to the new man. When we get saved, we don't become like Jesus instantly. It doesn't happen that way. When you start coming to church, it takes you a while to start really believing what you hear. When you get saved for real, then you have to be sanctified. And sanctification is a lifelong process. But if you want it to go a little bit faster, then you got to obey God and be faithful to that word. There is no way around it. That's me that's coming from the pulpit all the way to the pew or the PU. Transition. Psalms chapter 46 verse 10 and 11 says, be still. Okay, here's the answer. When things are going really fast, when trouble's coming really fast, when it feels like you don't know what day it is or what time it is, don't know whether you want to apply or quit, don't know whether you want to stay or go, things are going too fast,
He's going too fast. She's going too fast. They're driving too fast. When things are just spinning out of control. And you know that you need to make a good decision. Sometimes you just have to be still. Don't do anything. If you don't know what to do, don't do anything. I'm trying to help your decision-making process because some of you may be in the valley of decision right now. You're trying to determine whether I should stay or whether I should go. Should I stick with the church or should I find another church? Should I keep on going to church or should I just quit altogether and go back to my old way of thinking that got me into this problem in the first place? You got to fight against all of that. But the fight will be easier as long as you keep God before you. So verse 10 says, be still. Don't do anything. And know that I am God. Now, be still does not mean inactivity. It's just you being able to discern the right moment when to go forward. Because sometimes when you get in maintenance mode, we just figure that, hey, if I don't do anything, if I don't fill out any papers, if put it this way, a job that I am looking for because I know I need a financial breakthrough in my household, it's just going to fall into my lap. No, it's not going to work that way. Faith without works is dead. You will not make more money unless you apply for another job or ask for a promotion at your existing job. That's how it is. And we need to understand that. But if you don't want to go any further, then you have to be content with where you are. And there's nothing wrong with that. But don't get mad or get bitter when you want greater but won't put the faith behind it. That's strong words, but it's necessary. And if you do want more, sometimes it's not the right time.
Amen.
Because if you push the man to promote you too fast, you may not be aware of the impending layoff for all of the managers. But all the workers will be able to stay on. Because managers are the first to go. So sometimes you have to wait for the right moment.
Yes.
And if you don't know, be still. But being still is kind of like a pause as it relates to the scripture. It doesn't mean just don't do anything forever.
Amen.
Don't just wait for the blessing to come. And you just sitting there, bunking, I'm just waiting on Jesus. And it's enough. No. You have to work while you wait. Being still means being content where you are. Being still does not mean inactivity. You get what I'm saying?
Amen.
Get what I'm saying? I don't need to apply to be a pastor at 500 different churches outside of this one. I'm going to wait and work while I'm here until the breakthrough comes. And if God does not want that to happen, then guess what? I'm just going to continue to preach. You see how it goes? So sometimes we have to be content with where God, because God knows what we can handle. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted, not you. I will. God will be exalted among the nations. God will be exalted in earth. The Lord of hosts, watch this, is with us. He's with DTCC. He's with your family. He's with those of you that are under the sound of my voice. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Pause. That's what Selah means. Some of y'all gonna name y'all babies that too in the future, ain't you? Selah. Oh, that's so pretty. That's so pretty. Daquan Selah. All right. But Selah is actually a pause. Salah is not a translation for the word pause. It's basically what's supposed to happen there. Psalms is a book of music, if you will. It's almost like a worship book that was written by David when he was up under extreme pressure from Saul. When he was feeling some kind of way about his friend Jonathan, who was Saul's son. He wrote those things and had people who were up in his troop write those particular things. And so when it came to this particular verse, he's basically saying to us today in our moment in time, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. In other words, you can hide yourself in him when things feel like they're going too fast. Pause. Think about what I just said this morning. Apply it to your life. That's what you're supposed to do with the word. Read it, then pause. Think about it, then apply it to your life.
Amen.
Transition. Things are changing. Things are happening. Things feel like they're going too fast. Pause. Think about it and apply it to your life. So the threats are real. And sometimes those threats can be realized and hit you really hard.
But I want you to be encouraged. No matter what's going on, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to stay faithful. You might be going through hell right now with gasoline draws on. But that does not mean take some additional gas and put it on the fire. Amen. Sometimes you have to wait for it to burn out. Sometimes you have to go in front of people who can put it out. So those threats are real. That's a part of life. But God has given us a kingdom strategy or offense to triumph no matter what comes in our lives. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 24, I want to give you some keys, starting with verse number 16. And you should see these graphics on your screen that really point out what you should do when those threats come, how to stay encouraged, how to stay faithful. And number one comes out of verse 16, which is to rejoice always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. That's called vibrato. When you do, I always wonder what that was. I think his name was just showing off in the choir. All right. But you got to rejoice. In other words, when trouble comes, smile about it. There's nothing that will mess up the devil. I'll give you an example. When you get into a fight, what will freak you out more? Somebody just cussing and fussing, talking about something, I'm going to whoop you? Or somebody smiling, saying, it's going to be a lovely day, a lovely day, a lovely day. The smiles throw off the enemy. The joy throws off the enemy. This is mature stuff. Because if you are still governed by your mood, you above all men are going to be most miserable. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have them. Everybody has them. We're human. But I'm talking about if you want to go deeper in God and go further in God and you're really looking for that breakthrough, you have to have a spirit of rejoicing. So the scripture says in verse 16, rejoice always. Let me make it plain. Celebrate God and what he has already done. What has God already did? Remember when you were once single and you wanted a man or you wanted to get married? Remember that? And now you booed up? Appreciate that. Remember when you didn't have a job and you were broke? And now you have a job. It may be a piece of a job, but a piece is better than nothing. Be glad about that. Remember when your leg was hurting or you had that growth that was coming out the side of your forehead that was this long? And now it's gone? Be glad about that. Remember when you said, I used to hate school. I'm tired of seeing the same teacher in high school over and over again. And now that you graduated, be glad that you graduated. You see what I'm saying? You have to celebrate the small things along the way. Yes. Celebrate God and what he has already done. If you can't remember, write down a journal of what God has done. Put it this way. This is how you prove God. I don't understand if God really exists or not. Yes, he does. Pray to God in sincerity. Write down those prayers. Make sure they align up with scripture. Let me put that caveat in there. And then you wait. Whatever he doesn't do, he told you no, because you're not ready for it. But what he said yes to, you need to mark that down. Because put it this way. Prayers are when God answers prayers, he answers prayers that no one else can do for you. You get what I'm saying? And then you put those things down and then you remind yourself of what he's already done. And then you can say to yourself, if he did it before, he can do it again. If he did it before, then he can do it again. One blessing, two blessings, one, two, three. If he did it before, he can do it. Same God right now, same God back then. It's the same God. Yes. Same God. Same God. So you rejoice in the Lord always. You rejoice in the Lord. You celebrate God. But then you got to do number two, which is praying without ceasing. Praying without ceasing. You got to pray. You got to pray just to make it today. That's MC Hammer for everybody that's out there. Put the next graphic on there. It's prayer. Prayer. Prayer basically means this. To never stop talking to God. And it's a picture that says prayer, y'all. You get that? All right, now you got it. All right. Yeah, you can't go to sleep back there. Not during this part. Pray. Pray. Praying is nothing more than talking to God. But it doesn't just say pray, right? Right? It says pray without ceasing. Yeah. Yeah. That means you got to talk to God all the time. Married folk poking in a relationship.
Let's say, for example, y'all love each other. Just for example. Let's say that y'all love each other. Things are cool. And then one of you just stop talking. For no reason. Silent treatment. You withdraw. You become an introvert. You feeling some kind of way. For men, we sulk. We pout. And we just ain't going to say nothing for a week because we got to prove something to them. What will happen if nobody's talking to each other? Then the relationship starts to get worse. Yes. This understanding start to take root. Mm-hmm. Bitterness begins to set in. Then the youth begin to distance yourselves. You used to call everybody or call each other 3 or 4 times each day, sending silly texts and nasty little perverted messages to each other. Amen. I'm preaching better than y'all look at me. It's not perverted if you're mad. But you used to do that, but now it's nothing. You just put, I'm on my way, and then no response. You see what will happen to a relationship in the natural is that it'll show that it will deteriorate. Likewise, if you don't pray, you're going to misunderstand God. You're going to distance yourself from God. You're not going to be able to discern right from wrong at specific times. And you're going to lack the wisdom to be able to make proper decisions. So you got to talk to God always, always. Talk to God always. Amen. So never stop talking to God. Let me make it plain. Stay on speaking terms with each other. You get that? That's plain enough? Stay on speaking terms. But then there's the next phase. And verse 18 says, in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you. And Christ Jesus. You see the scripture up there? In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Put the graphic up there, give thanks. I got a graphic for every single thing I'm going to say. So you got to be thankful. Be thankful. Being thankful is very similar to celebration. They go hand in hand. Be thankful for what you already have. Remember when you didn't have a car? You got that?
Yes.
I remember the first car that I had while I was in college. I had a couple of them, but the first car that I had while I was in college was a 91 Buick Skylark. Why are you laughing? You were there. And it was a rusty bottom. You could see the street. I thought it was a literal Fred Flintstone car. I just covered the mat over it. But one time when I was looking for something, I pulled up the mat and then Lady Martin, then the teacher would look at me like, hey, I can see the street. And I covered the mat back over real quick. Because I could literally do this. But that was then. This is now. Then the scripture comes to mind, do not despise small beginnings. So, yeah, you may have started a boyfriend and girlfriend, now you have a child, a couple of children, but that doesn't mean that you can't get married. You see? You always got something to look forward to, but you can still thank God right now.
Yes.
Remember when you were about to fail, but your teacher gave you a pass in grade because you did some extra credit, and you were so glad that you didn't have to take that class again?
Amen.
You be thankful for those things, and that will help you to fend off depression. Because sometimes we can get wallowed into what's getting wrong so many times until it begins to beat us down. But again, in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for it is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. To make it plain, being thankful is the antidote to depression and promotes humility. You get that?
Yes.
How many of you know somebody that doesn't like to say thank you? My wife is kind of looking at me too because I have this habit, y'all. I don't know what happens when I order food through the drive-thru. But my brain shuts off. I'm no longer intelligent. I can't talk straight. I could go to Panda Express, and there's this thing that's called Beijing beef. I could say that now, but when I get to the place, because my kids are running me crazy in the back, I say Beijing beef. And then they all start laughing at me. And then when we finally get up to the front of the window, They pile me with all this food. I don't never look in the bags. I'm not one of those people that looks in the bags. I don't like to check for my food before I leave. I just trust that the person is smart enough to give me all of their food. My wife doesn't do that. And then because of all the distractions in the car, sometimes I drive and she'll look at me and she'll be like, "You didn't say thank you. How come you didn't say thank you?" Or I'll say it real low. I'll be like, "Thank you." She's like, "Nobody can hear you." I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Thank you. Thank you. And I do want to say thank you, but sometimes I just be distracted. That's all. It, like some of you get distracted too with the things of life. And God is blessing you, but you just forget to say thank you. But here's what I learned. When I do say thank you, guess what happens to the other person who's serving me? It puts a smile on their face. So if you understand that, just going through Panda Express and me giving you that example, you should also understand how God feels when you tell him thank you. Does that make sense? That makes sense, right? I want to keep it plain. Next up, verse 19 says, "Do not quench the spirit." Now that word quench the spirit, how many of us church folk don't even know what quench mean? Half of us be like, "Quench, what are you talking about? Fruit quenches? Capri Suns?" Well, listen. But yeah, that's kind of like the analogy, but it really means don't put the fire out. Don't put the fire out. Quenching the spirit means that you should follow God in all things and all your ways. And by doing so, you're going to experience the super on the natural. Let me make it plain. Sometimes us church folk, when we read the scriptures, we take all of the power of God out of it and we treat it like a textbook. Or like five keys to understanding life. Or we think it's a book like Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That all you got to do is read those principles, you apply it to your life, and then it'll work. Da 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 da, and then that's it. But God says, don't put the fire out. Don't quench the spirit. In other words, you have to understand the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you and teach you and bring you into all truth. But you got to listen. And sometimes God wants you to be still so that you can hear right. Should you take the job? Should you sign the papers? Should you tear the papers up? Should you try again? Should you pause? Should you not visit over mom and them house this weekend? Maybe you should go because they're sick. They just didn't tell you. You see? Yeah. But you have to get closer to God and you have to hear God. And here's how you hear God. You got to study that word. If this is God's word, and this is God's way of speaking us today, and you don't ever read it, when he's talking to you, how you'll know? Well, I thought God told me to bust the windows out their car. That's what I heard, because I thought God speaks to you in your conscience. You know. But I don't see busting windows out the car inside of the Bible or in the scriptures. God will tell you to stop or go or pause. Let your yes be yes or your no's be no. Now verse 20 says, "Do not despise prophetic utterances." Oh Lord. This is the one that says prophecy. And I want to show you this because when it comes to prophetic things, let me show you the prophets. There's a nice little graphic that that I want you to see. This graphic, for those of you that are watching online, are the true prophets. Not Prophet Java Pasha. Oh Lord. Not an internet prophet that's dressed up like Lil Wayne. That speaks the things of God. Because they found out. Here, you know what's going on today? Let me peep y'all in on some game right now. So let me peep you in on some church game. Pastoring or starting a church is not a good way to hit a lick again.
Amen.
For all those that don't understand what hit a lick means, it's not a way for you to come up and get financial gain quickly. That used to be how it was back in the 90s and the 80s. You could start a church, you could be as bootleg with a Jerry Curl and a Viceroy cigarette and with pink Stacy Adams and you could still have a church of 300, 400 people as long as you knew how to holler. But guess what? Y'all young people don't like folk hollering at you. That's why you went to college in another city, because you got tired of your parents hollering at you. So now we're in an era to where you have to work and you have to labor like it was in the original church. We have to sit and disciple people and teach people properly. Yes. So pastoring is not as popular anymore because the money too slow. But prophets for profit are popping up everywhere. You don't have that. You can get you a diploma on YouTube. And as long as you got a camera in front of your face and say some things that you want people to hear you about, and you could check their timeline and be like, sister, I see that you are working at Health First. Well, that's on my timeline, but the person listening to it would be like, oh, they tell me everything I want to know. I can't believe it. And you know what has happened? It used to be on television where you saw the soothsayers on television with the fake miracles and the fake oil and all this other stuff. But now it's moved to social media. And a lot of our young people are being caught up by it because they are very distraught about the future. But these are the real prophets right here. And there's major prophets and minor prophets, and they all point to Jesus.
Yes.
So if you want to know whether or not a prophet is true or not, see if they say anything that points to Jesus. Not about health all the time, or wealth all the time, or you getting a brand new car, or everything is going to be all right. A lot. Did you know that most of the prophets in the Bible only really stuck on two subjects? Whether God was going to judge, or whether he was going to bring mercy. But the scripture also says, don't despise prophetic utterances. Because there are some instances in scripture where God will send people to tell you, well, thus saith the Lord. And you got to listen to him.
Yes.
And a prophet isn't a title. It's what's being said. It's the message. So when it says don't despise prophetic utterances, it doesn't mean don't despise people telling you about your future. True prophecy is me telling you the word of God. So if you wanted to find out if you want to get prophesied to, I've been saying it since, 11 o'clock this morning. That's what a true prophet is, somebody who takes the word of God and declares it to you in its proper context. Then it will bring life. It may sound boring initially. It may not necessarily fill up the stadiums and things like that initially, but after a while, it starts getting stronger. Then you'll start seeing your life getting stronger, and you'll start seeing your surroundings getting stronger. And then as you apply it, you'll see growth. Amen. So you have to believe God's word. Whether it's in pain, or it's painful, or prosperous. That's what true prophecy is. Sometimes it's going to be painful. Just imagine Nathan. Nathan was a prophet. And he told David, one of your kids finna die. Because you didn't repent before the Lord. You went outside of your marriage to Micah. And you slept with Bathsheba. And you tried to cover it up. I could have handled that. God said I could have handled the dirt. But then when you try to cover it up, that's what really made me mad. So now you got to experience the consequence of your actions that's going to follow you all the way to Absalom almost 25 to 30 years later. That 18-year mistake, we thought we were free when they turned 18. That's not the case. Because some of us got to deal with children well into their 30s. So you got to use wisdom. Know the difference between true prophecy and false prophecy and false teaching. I have never seen so much, put it this way, I have never seen so much false prophecy and false teaching as I have today. It is spreading like wildfire. All you need is just a phone and an internet connection and a cash app, and the funds will start flowing in because pastoring is too slow. The money's too slow. But I can take from you while I'm sitting in front of my couch in Texas and speak to you while you're in Oregon and take your money because I told you something that you want to hear but never happened. So you have to know the difference between true prophecy and false teaching. So let me give you some highlights of this in our remaining time left. A false prophet has a couple of characteristics. The first category that they fall in is a heretic. A heretic is an old word for somebody that does or preaches something contrary to the word of God. And you have to call them out on it. So if you happen to come across a pastor online named Tim Rogers who preaches that there is no hell, or if you start listening and you watch videos, it's called Come Sunday, or listening to Carlton Pearson, they are heretics. I don't care if they did Azusa Street. Because everything in Azusa wasn't from God. Anything that comes from God keeps going. God does not love and send everybody to heaven. He has mercy. There's a difference between mercy and love. But if you find somebody that preaches opposite of that, they're a heretic and you need to cut the internet off. Or you need to move from that. You need to unsubscribe from that YouTube channel. The second one, and an example in scripture, is Hymenaeus and Alexander. Hymenaeus and Alexander were withstanding Paul because of their false teaching. They were shipwrecked in their faith. Paul got upset and he separated himself from them. The second one is a charlatan. A charlatan is somebody who is hustling you. If I'm sitting in front of you like Young Thug on the internet, but I'm preaching to you, and it's running crazy over there in Africa right now. Pastoring is too hard. Because you got to labor with the people for several years. But prophecy, all you have to do is just come in town and say, hey, can I get your pulpit for a moment, doc? Doc. No doctorate, but they call you doc. Charlatan, a hustler. Snake oil salesman. That's where they get it from. Simony is the biblical term. Simon the sorcerer said to Paul and Peter, can I buy this Holy Spirit from you? Tell me how much it costs. Because the things that you're doing could really stack up the folk inside of my church right now. If you do this particular trick, they'll come. And now what you see on the Word Network is a whole bunch of preachers that are fundraising with holy oil. And all it is just a repackaged indulgences that come from the Catholic, Roman Catholic Church. It's just a point of contact. But if God has sent his son as the middleman, then how is it that you're going to have another point of contact? But Paul, he laid down handkerchiefs. And then when the people touched the handkerchiefs, they were healed. You're not Paul. And you didn't see Jesus as an epiphany or as a theophany. You didn't see. You weren't blinded in your eyes. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help your crazy friend that won't come to church, but they got a prophet that they listen to online that they don't have to be accountable to. It's an unaccountable relationship. They both telling each other what they want to hear. Go ahead. I hear you. Look at all these views. That must mean they're telling the people the truth. If somebody gets lynched outside, you'll get a lot of views. So views don't mean quality or that it's right. The next area is the tickler. This is a person who only tells you what you want to hear. These are people who appease you. Pastor Tim Rogers, guess who is in his congregation? Leandria Johnson. And so if he's preaching that there is no hell, then what does that do to her mind? It makes her be comfortable where she is. But if you preach the true word of God, what's going to happen? It's going to thin out the carnal folk. The people who want to live right, that are absolute sinners, won't go anywhere because they want to do right. And the people who really love God will stay there because it's life to them. That is what will happen. Then there's abusers. These are people who abuse God's word. They use it as a strong arm. Touch not my anointed to do my prophet no harm. But if you're a false prophet, it doesn't apply to you. You see? And you shouldn't use that scripture to try to threaten somebody because they don't respect your office or your title. In the kingdom, I don't remember Jesus calling any of his disciples apostles. He called them by their first name. You are my disciples. That's the truth. You want to not get ripped off? You need to listen. You want to help your friend to not get ripped off because they don't want to come to church, but they're good with just watching internet church? You need to tell them the truth. And if you sow a seed for $21 to a preacher that you don't know just so they can stay on the air, or $58 because it lines up with a particular scripture, that's how they get you. They use the scripture to justify things that are not there. And then your heart is broken. Because false teaching leads to false thinking. False thinking leads to false learning. And false learning leads to a broken soul and a broken heart that never wants to come back to the church again because they lied. Then you have the divider. This is somebody who only preaches the doctrine of devils. These are people who put politics over people. And you got to be careful of that. Then you have the speculator. These are individuals who are just obsessed with the end times. I remember, you remember that gentleman a little while ago, they used to have billboards around Orlando. I think it was radio, family radio. And the guy who has now passed away said that on this particular day, the earth will end. And the date passed, and he had a heart attack because of all the people who called him a false prophet. You don't need to be obsessed with the end times, especially if you don't understand eschatology and especially if you don't understand scripture. Donald Trump is not the Antichrist. Obama is not the Antichrist. An American president is not going to be the Antichrist because the scripture says that that particular individual is going to come from out of the Middle East, from out of the tribe of Assyria. But if you don't know that, you're going to call everybody the Antichrist. And the end times are not going to come until certain scriptures are going to be fulfilled. And no certain scriptures have to be outlined by these gentlemen. So if they haven't happened yet, ain't nothing going to happen. And Jesus specifically says that that area is going to be locked to us because no man knows the day nor the hour. So if somebody says that they do know the day nor the hour, they are false prophet and they must be discarded or exposed. False prophets have a lot of failed predictions. So if I come to you in your $50 line, or even if you don't ask for any money, and you prophesy to me and it don't come to pass, don't ever speak to me again. You get that? Because if it came from God, whatever he says, he will do. And it will show enough come to pass. That's the truth, right? So yeah, a false prophet or a prophet has to kind of pause when they come to pass the mark because I know how to test them. And I'm telling you so that you'll know how to test them too, right? Amen. Right? Yeah. You need to know that, right? Okay. So that's test of spirit. And the verse 22, come around the mountain, abstain every form of evil. Abstain doesn't mean you're not going to experience any evil. It just means refrain. Try to hold it. Try to dial it down back. If you up to 5 bottles of Jack Daniels a week, abstain means try to dial it back to 1. Right. So you got to examine everything. I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you. Y'all were late back there with that one. Verse 1 says, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Y'all like this meme right here? This is how I want y'all to be when y'all are looking at prophets online. This is how I want you all to be when somebody throws a scripture in your face. This is how I want you all to be even when you're listening to me. Because you need to be like the Bereans to search the scriptures and make sure that what I'm saying is lining up to the word. That helps you to not be ignorant. You get what I'm saying? All right. And when you examine them, then you'll be able to tell whether they're a heretic or a tickler or a divider or a speculator or a false prophet or a false teacher. Then you can abstain from evil. What are you abstaining from evil? That's the graphic that says, not today, Satan, not today. All right? When you abstain from every form of evil, it basically means this. It means that you're going to stay from out of harm's way. Y'all have the graphic back there? Thank you. Y'all got the. Y'all work with me, please. All right? Stay out of harm's way. In other words, what this means is that you got to resist the devil. And when you resist the devil, he will flee from you. You got to close those gates, though. If you can't stand seeing naked women because it makes you feel some kind of way, then you can't watch it. If you can't take a look at that Sports Illustrated naked issue, then don't turn the page. If you got an envious spirit because one of your relatives is doing better than you and you like their life, then you need to stop looking. If you're a person that is always convinced by what you hear, then you got to close your ears and open them up to God. One of you may be able to handle a whole bunch of cussing and music inside of the car. But the other person in the car, when they listen to the music, they try to emulate everything they hear in the music and try it on people. Because people are followers by nature. But you got to tell Satan, not today, Satan, not today. That's what abstaining from evil means. It means to stay out of harm's way. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Close the gates and feed your faith. Abstinence is not equal with absence or of the urge of doing wrong. So you're going to have the urge regardless. Anybody that has ever practiced celibacy before, doesn't that mean that you stop being male or female? You still have the urge. Stings still rise and fall in the middle of the night. But a focus, which is what true abstinence is, should be on what is right in the eyes of God. Amen. You can play this with God. So as I conclude with verse 23 through 24, immediately, you can't fall asleep on these type of things. So pull up the scripture. That's why I switched y'all on purpose. Verse 23 says, after you understand all of those, you get it? Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. You get that? Rejoice. Examine. Pray without ceasing. That's how you stay faithful. Abstain from every form of evil. Even though the urge may come up, you got to know what to do when the urge comes up. And when you fall short, know that grace will still be sufficient. It's very important for you to understand that. Don't despise prophetic utterances. So if I'm preaching to you hard truth, but it helps you in the long run, then you should hold on to it and never let go. Don't quench the spirit. Don't put the fire out. You don't have to be a biblical person that doesn't believe in the author of the Bible, because there's a lot of people who follow scripture but don't know the author. Everything, give thanks, be thankful to God. Now, once you have done those things and realized those truths, may the peace of God, or the God of peace himself, sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love verse 24. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will, now you put up, bring it to pass. Amen.
Amen.
God will bring things to you, but you gotta stay faithful. You have to be in the position to say, God, I'm following your word, bring it on. If it takes a little while, bring it on. If I'm not ready yet, I'm okay with it, but still bring it on. And I'm going to wait here until it comes. Faithful is he who calls you. Call on God, be encouraged, and he will also bring it to pass. Amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for the word of the Lord. This morning, stay faithful my friends. I know some of you may think this is the most interesting man in the world, Dos Equis. His real name is Jonathan Goldsmith, and he's not the most interesting man in the world. He's just an actor. 70-something years old. He looks good for his age, though. But the person who's the most interesting man in the world is Jesus. And that's the one that you should stay faithful to. So stay faithful, my friends. If your faith is weak right now, or you have a little bit of trouble focusing on God and the things of God, follow the strategies that I've outlined to you in the Word. Take some time out and watch the messages again so that you can learn properly, because in the age that we're in, there's no excuse to be ignorant in the things of God. Back in the old church, you couldn't rewind anything except for a tape. Let me take that tape and let me press the rewind button. And you got to wait for a little while. But our church doesn't have a tape ministry. You could go to YouTube and you could just go back to the section and you can replay it over and over and over again, write down the notes, and then apply them to your life. Then if somebody tries to pop up something that's weird to you, you'll have a reference point. Because I want you to be good and strong believers. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you and we bless you. We thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness to us, Heavenly Father. I pray for those that are tired at this moment. I pray for those that are going through a transition right now. And I also pray for those, Lord God, that may be in trouble. May the God of peace bring comfort. I also pray for my cousin that lost her mother, Lord God, bring peace and comfort to that particular family. I pray for individuals in this place, even today, that may have a loved one that's going through some terrible time right now, Lord God. Let their faith be strengthened and let them totally rely on you, Lord God. Lord God, I'm praying for those that have financial troubles right now. Make their path straight, Lord God, and bring peace to their pockets, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, and I honor you, and I lift up your holy name. Strengthen every marriage. Strengthen every relationship that is under your will, Lord God. May those that have hidden gifts, let them be able to express those in love towards one another. And Lord God, most of all, we lift you up, and we lift up your name, Jesus, who came, died, and was buried, and rose again on the third day. Lord God, we thank you for your son. And we honor you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. So now turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God wants your dreams. Hold on, I think I hear it over here, but y'all ain't said nothing. So let's try this again. I'm going to look in your mouth. Neighbor, say neighbor. God wants. Man, you can just talk to me. God wants your dreams and visions. Realize. Amen. All right. Be blessed, people of God. The Snack Shack is open if you want to get some hot food and beverages. And you are now dismissed. God bless you. God keep you. Oh, Lord. Hey, Akara. How you doing, sweetheart? Oh, Lord. God bless you. God keep you. Oh, and right up here, this is the flyer for today. This is for the Triumphant Ministries. 24th annual. So the flyer is on Facebook. It's inside of the DCCC family group. There's going to be a lot of artists there. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. And it is this upcoming Friday. Ant-Man and Wasp already done came out. Okay. So we are open this particular upcoming Friday. All right. So if you don't have anything to do and you want to celebrate the people of God and support us outside of Sundays, come on out. We would appreciate your presence. All right. Consider yourselves dismissed. Be blessed. Can we have some music today, please? Y'all made it rough for me today. Real rough.